In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Every Sunday, my friends, we celebrate a mini Easter, a mini resurrection. So for that reason, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. So, my friends, let's start off this new week by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray the Hail, Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to pray with us and to pray for us. As we say the prayer that she loves most, which is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. So together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, friends, let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. He also has many wonderful titles. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. As well as our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as your interior master. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Great to be with all of you today. And after praying with you, I will pray for you in the greatest of all prayers, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to place all of you on the altar and pray for specific intentions. First, that we would be open to the Holy Spirit today. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray in a special way for our families, for the conversion, the sanctification, and the salvation of our family and family members. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Praying for our conversion, our sanctification, and the salvation of ourselves as well as all of our family members. Then I'd like to pray in a special way for all of those who will be dying sometime today. Saint Catherine of Siena, one of the women doctors of the church, says the following. The two most important moments in our lives are now and at the hour of our death. I'd like to pray for those who will be dying, that they'll die in God's friendship and be saved. Nothing more important than that in the whole universe. And I'd like to pray also for ourselves. We don't know the day, nor the hour, nor the moment, nor the manner that all of us will be called from time to eternity to be judged by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray that he will not be our judge, but that he will be our Redeemer. So, my friends, those are the intentions I'd like to place on the altar in the greatest of all prayers, and that prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. May we all live out to the fullest extent possible this holy, holy season of Lent, which is truly a gift from the Church to all of us. Let's take advantage of it. My friends, the first Sunday of Lent, we have our Lord being tempted by the devil. The second temptation, I'm sorry, the second Sunday in Lent is the transfiguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This we find in the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you could perhaps try to compose an Ignatian contemplation. Try to imagine the place, the persons, the words that they say, their gestures. And try to enter into the scene and to derive a lot of profit from this. So the context is this. Jesus at Caesarea Philippi asks the disciples who he is. And there are a lot of opinions. Then Peter pipes up and he says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. Jesus blesses Peter. But then Jesus makes the prophecy that he will have to suffer, die at the hands of the elders and the teachers of the law. But then he'll be raised on the third day. Peter takes him apart and he starts to remonstrate or to rebuke our Lord. He didn't want him to have to suffer. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan, because you're not reasoning like God, but like men. So after making this prophecy of his upcoming suffering, here we have the gospel for today. So that is the biblical context. So let's walk through this wonderful biblical passage called the Transfiguration. It says Jesus, this is the Gospel of St. Luke, year A we have Matthew, year B we have Mark, year C we have the Gospel of St. Luke. Each one of the Gospels have different lights, different insights, different nuances. Each Gospel reflects Jesus and his words and his presence in a different way. It says Jesus took Peter, James, and John. This was the inner circle of Jesus. Jesus chose 73 disciples to follow him. Then Jesus chose the 12 the 12 apostles. But Jesus, among the 12 apostles, he chose the inner circle. You might even call this inner circle his three best friends. We should beg to be in this inner circle. Peter, James, and John. We will also see Peter, James, and John in two other key moments in the life of Christ. And they will be at the raising of the death of the daughter of Jairus. We see Peter, James, and John. Then we'll see also Peter, James, and John after our Lord at the Last Supper institutes the Eucharist and the priesthood. So we see Peter, James, and John heading with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. He accompanies our Lord there. But instead of praying with him, these three apostles, they fall asleep. And falling asleep, biblically, is not a good sign. It's a symbol of laziness, really. So Peter, James, and John. It says, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain. We have these mountain experiences in sacred scripture. We have Abraham climbing Mount Moriah where he offers his son. We have Moses climbing Mount Sinai where he will receive the Ten Commandments of God. We have the prophet Elijah who ascends Mount Carmel where he encounters God, not in the thunder nor the lightning, but in the gentle breeze. Eventually we're going to have the Lord climbing Mount Calvary where he'll suffer death for us. So today we see Jesus climbing the mountain. And St. Luke specifies the reason why. To pray. To pray. Among the many key themes in the Gospel of St. Luke is that of Jesus at prayer and teaching us how to pray. My friends, in our Lenten journey, we should be striving to grow in our prayer life. That's right. I mentioned to you Father Al Hall's tri-dimensional living out of Lent. He said, we are called to go up, we're called to go in, we're called to go out. We're called to go up, in, and out. We're called to go up to God. Through prayer. We're called to go in by the practice of penance and mortification. We're called to go out by means of serving others in the practice of almsgiving. So as they're climbing the mountain, we might even think about climbing the mountain. St. John of the Cross, the mystical doctor of the Church, has not only written The Dark Night of the Soul, but also the Ascent to Mount Carmel, comparing our spiritual lives to that of climbing a mountain. For us to climb a mountain, we have to be well prepared, especially if it's a high mountain. But Peter, James, and John, they're not walking by themselves, they're walking with Christ. And it's not so important, friends, where we are, but with whom we are. Wherever we go, we should invite the Lord to be with us. Wherever we go, invite the Lord to be with us. He went out the mountain to pray. So while Jesus was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. Dazzling white. Let's talk about our own first transfiguration, our own first transformation. We couldn't see this with our physical eyes, but with the eyes of our soul, hopefully. Whenever there's a baptism. Whenever there's a baptism, there is a transformation. The soul of the individual could be a child, could be an adolescent, could be an adult with baptism. That individual, his soul, is transfigured. It becomes dazzling white. For that reason, my friends, when the baby is born, we should procure to have that child baptized as soon as possible, so that that baptism will wash away the stain of original sin and that soul will become white as the snow. In which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit start to live. And even after we have been baptized, because we are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, the just man falls 7 times a day. By making a good sacrament of confession, that original, pristine, glorious, resplendent beauty of the soul can be transformed and transfigured once again into the glory and the beauty of God Himself within the soul. As the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 1, even though our soul be scarlet red, I will transform it so that it is white as the snow. So there are these two different transfigurations in our lives. The moment of our baptism, and every time we receive that wonderful sacrament of confession, in which the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, washes us, cleanses us, makes us dazzlingly white. Then the gospel says, and behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah. These are two, my friends, these are two of the principal figures of the Old Testament. Moses, who was given the law, the Ten Commandments, on Mount Sinai. And Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, was taken up into heaven in the chariots of fire. That wonderful movie that I recommend to all of you, Chariots of Fire. They appeared, and only the Gospel of St. Luke speaks about what our Lord will be undergoing says, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. This exodus would be his passion and death on Mount Calvary. So, during this marvelous transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are contemplating this glorious scene. Later on, Peter, in one of his letters, will actually recount this, one of his letters. It says that Peter and the companions had become overcome by sleep. Once again, we have that idea of sleep. There was sleep in the garden during our Lord's agony, when our Lord really wanted their company to be with him in his suffering. They fell asleep. Once again, they fall asleep. And my friends, I think it speaks to us that we have a tendency to be lazy. Times we're lazy. Now in this season of Lent, it's time to wake up. Let's wake up and not allow sluggishness to overcome us, but have our eyes opened, our ears attuned to the voice of God, to see God in the circumstance, hear God's voice in the circumstances that surround us. So they wake up. And they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Jesus will, of course, become the greatest lawgiver, and his law is that of love. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the essence of all the laws. And then Elijah was a great prophet, but Jesus will go way beyond Elijah. Jesus will become the greatest teacher in the history of the world. He is the Logos, the Word of the Eternal Father. And Peter pipes up. And Peter says, after waking up, Peter says, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Very often, my friends, when I'm in making my holy hour, I have the privilege of being able to make my holy hour in our private chapel, in which I light the candelabra. I've got 16 candles lighted, and I place our Lord in the monstrance, in the Blessed Sacrament. And often I'll say those words of Peter, namely, Master, it is good that we are here. I say the same thing. Master, it's good for us to be here. I say the same thing. Lord, it's good to be here in your presence. And it's true, every time Jesus is exposed in the tabernacle, in the monsters, it is truly the same Jesus that Peter, James, and John contemplated on the Mount of the Transfiguration. And he says, let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Sacred Scripture, St. Luke says, but he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. They became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then, from the cloud came a voice that said, this is my chosen son. Listen to him. It's interesting that the beginning of the public life of Christ, when he is baptized by John the Baptist, we hear the voice of the Heavenly Father. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Now, there's the next question for us. Listen to him. I think all of us meditating upon these words want to stop and ask ourselves, listen to him, what are ways in which God can speak to us? That's right. What are ways in which God can speak to us? God speaks to us in many ways, but very often we're deaf. Or sometimes we have what is called selective listening. We want to hear certain things, but we don't want to hear other things. So let's give a list of ways in which God can speak to us. And this could be one of our prayers. One of our prayers can be, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. We often want to say, listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking. Well, in a certain sense, I think that they're both good. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking. I think we should have a combination of both of them. And Mary Jo points out, cafeteria Catholics, that's right. There are Catholics that just want to hear what they want to hear. Like Peter did not want to hear Jesus speak about the cross. I think we can identify with Peter. Often we don't want to hear about the cross and suffering. Well, God speaks to us, my friends, in various ways. He speaks to us through sacred scripture. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, we should get in the habit of listening attentively to the Word of God, reading and meditating upon the Word of God. God will speak to us through Sacred Scripture. How else? God also speaks to us, my friends, through the church and through the magisterium. The church is the mystical body of Christ, and the magisterium is the teaching office of Holy Mother Church. There are people that say, well, I like the Bible, I like Jesus, but I don't like the church. You really can't say that, because the church is the mystical body of Christ. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. If he ascended, passed through the clouds, and sits at the right hand of God the Father, where is he? He's present in his mystical body, the church. And God speaks also through the person of the priest. St. Augustine says that the priest is alter Christus, is the other Christ. Especially go to Mass today, and God will speak to you through the gospel that we're explaining right now. But as the priest gets up and he explains the readings in the Mass, then God will speak to you through the person of the priest. That message will be God's message to you for the week. How else does God speak? Well, he speaks through the commandments, too. Children, teenagers, they don't like to hear this, but God speaks to children and teenagers through the commandments, most specifically the fourth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. God speaks in various ways. God also speaks, my friends, through circumstances. I don't like it when people will sometimes say to me, good luck, Padre. Good luck, Father. I don't like that. You know I don't like that? Because I don't believe in luck. Nothing happens by chance. But rather, I believe in what is called divine providence. God, Jesus says, God even knows how many hairs we have on our head. God knows when one of those hairs from our head falls to the ground. Nothing happens by chance. God cannot be taken by surprise. God's providential plan is manifested in the history of the world, in the history of the church. How else does God speak to us? Well, all of you, hopefully, have your confessor, because we are sinners. And if you have a confessor, then God will speak to you. God will speak to you by means of the priest who is your confessor. If you read through the Diary of St. Faustina Kowalska, and time again, Jesus says to St. Faustina Kowalska that God will speak to you through the priest. He will speak to you in the context of the sacrament of confession. God is present in the sacramental life. And also all of us who are truly pursuing a life of holiness, God will speak to us through the sacraments. That's right, through the sacraments. So, my friends, the Gospel of the Transfiguration is a glorious biblical passage that God wants all of us to meditate upon. And these words can be words of great comfort to all of you. When the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," those words can be applied to you also. Yes, they can. Because, my friends, all of you are beloved sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. So may God bless all of you abundantly. I'm going now to teach a class of formation for the parents. Pray for me. And today I'll be entering into the fifth week of the spiritual exercises. We're heading to the climax of the exercises, the high point of the exercises. Pray for us. Pray for those who are doing the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And I'd like to give all of you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. The intercession of Mary Most Holy and St. Peter, James, and John, the angels and the saints, may God bless all of you in a very special way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.